Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Cloud ERP podcast. This special edition podcast is brought to you in partnership with the Let's Talk Data podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Frank Maguri. We have a great conversation planned for everyone today. In just a few moments, I'm going to hand the microphone over to my esteemed colleague, Terry Penner. He's going to host the conversation around SAP S/4HANA cloud data migration and metadata governance best practices. I will be back as your host in the near future with new stories I'm currently working on. Until then, let's get rolling. Welcome, Terry. Take it away.
Thanks very much, Jennifer. Great to be with you. Welcome to our expert panel discussion on best practices for migrating data and managing master data for S/4HANA Cloud customers, particularly those in the early stages of their RISE journey. My name is Terry Penner. I'm part of the SAP Business Technology Platform Marketing and Solutions team, covering BTP for RISE and GROW. Today, I'm joined by two experts with a lot of real-world experience in the topic. First, we have Bill Todd, Principal Solution Advisor from SAP, and Randy Connolly, Global Data Governance Practice Lead for Cinity. Randy and Bill, can you tell us a bit about yourselves?
Certainly. This is Randy, and I've got a little over 30 years in really the SAP space. Started off in data migration and did a lot of years of work doing just focus on data migration, data quality, and then for the last 12 years, been focused on master data governance.
Great. Thanks, Randy. Hi, this is Bill Todd. And for the past 20 years or so, I've been focusing on data management solutions. My background is actually more in data quality. That's how I got started. And then from there, segued into topics or subject areas such as master data management, data integration. But, you know, it's all about the data for me. And that's what I'm passionate about, making sure we have good, trusted, accurate data for whatever we're doing, you know, as a business or organization.
For sure. Great. Well, great to have both of you with us today. So let's start off talking about data migration. So first of all, why is data migration and master data management important to an S/4HANA customer starting their RISE journey? RISE is really important to our customer base at SAP. A lot of customers are just getting started. What would you say to them?
And this is one where, you know, I said it earlier during my introduction, Terry. I said trusted, accurate master data is critical, or trusted, accurate data is critical. And really, this applies to any business initiative, but especially when you're making that move to S/4HANA and starting your RISE journey. Without that trusted, accurate data foundation, you could have inaccurate, unreliable data, right? Which can, you know, you'd be building, right, on a foundation that's not very solid. So think of it from the analogy of building a building, right? It all starts with having that really good foundation. And that's what data, and here master data, serves as that foundation for S/4HANA. Randy?
Yeah, Bill, I think you framed it up really well there. That migration is a part of that whole key foundation that you're putting in there as part of your digital transformation into S/4HANA. And it's really where you're establishing a lot of those business standards, the policies, and the rules for really what the business needs are going to be to meet their operational needs. And furthermore, that's what gets leveraged when you go into that whole master data governance space of it, to really ensure that on an ongoing basis, you're leveraging, again, those business standards, policies, and rules that you've established as part of your migration, to really keep that data integrity in place and make sure that, as part of that, you also are applying those in a consistent manner as you go forward into your governance practices. I think that as long as organizations are taking advantage of those, they're certainly going to be able to enhance their operations and the efficiencies as they continue to go forward and make new innovations.
Yeah, so exploring that a little bit more, both of you have a lot of experience working with customers directly on this topic. So what are some of the key data challenges that S/4HANA customers specifically are facing as they migrate to S/4HANA Cloud Private Edition, whether it's from ERP or S/4HANA on-prem?
Terry, I think one of the key things that I see that come up frequently is the whole cleansing, the harmonization, and that business alignments. And when I say alignment, it's really about acceptance across the business, and whether it's just a regional or a global acceptance of those new standards, policies, and rules, that always can be a challenge to really get alignment in there. And because sometimes there's just political differences within those. So really one of the key things that you have to consider with that is implementing that whole change management aspect of it to make sure that you get good, solid user acceptance and build confidence in your user base to be able to move forward in a very smooth manner.
Yeah, and I totally agree, Randy. You know, the at the data level, though, right? Because absolutely, you know, change management and the users and, you know, how they interact with the system, policies, procedures is critical at the people level. But, you know, more down at the data level, what I point out, you know, I'm the data is always my emphasis. It always goes back to the data. Data quality is always a big challenge, of course, right? We don't want to take, you know, old data issues, right, and have those in the new system, right? This is our chance to kind of get it right. So data quality is always a challenge and an issue and something that needs to be addressed. Specifically for S/4HANA customers that you had asked about, Terry, and I found in my experience that the business partner conversion, when it comes to the topic of customer and vendor data, that's one that is critical and a lot of times challenging for a lot of our customers because, you know, in S/4HANA, it leverages the business partner model. Right? That's the lens that you look through for customers and vendors, right? It all rolls up to this higher level designation, which is a business partner. Because sometimes a company, for example, is both a customer and a vendor. So you look at them as a business partner. And so that's a challenge for a lot of our customers because you need to convert your data from what it is today. Today, most companies treat those separately, right? And they're not identifying, you have a company that's both a vendor and a customer, right? Well, you treat them separately. You don't roll them up to a business partner. So that's one that's critical and that needs to be addressed as part of the migration that we've been talking about, right? And then going forward in S/4HANA, that's how you're going to treat those types of records as business partners.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So just thinking about some different approaches and best practices for customers, there's really, for my understanding, there's three main approaches to migrating data that you consider. The first, when you're moving to S/4HANA. So the first one would be a system conversion. The second one would be what we call a selective data transition. And the third one is just doing a new implementation, which could be alongside of an existing one, maybe allows you to migrate just piece by piece. But let's just talk a bit about what the benefits and drawbacks of each of those and some best practices would be great here. So let's start with system conversion, which a lot of people might know as a lift and shift. So just for those who might not be familiar with it, this is basically a technical upgrade. You're doing the minimum. You're not taking advantage of the new S/4HANA innovations. Typically, your ERP would have relatively little customization and you're not changing the data. So maybe starting with you, Bill, what are your thoughts on things to be considered with a system conversion?
Yeah, this approach, you know, based on my experience, is best suited for, you know, a company or organization that has a highly effective data management practice, has really good data, right? Or a lot of times, you know, maybe you're in a pinch or a bind, you're in a hurry, right, to get to S/4HANA, right? So you just want to do this lift and shift. But you'll need to make sure if you're going to take this approach, you need to make sure that your existing data, you know, has a high level of data quality to get the most out of this implementation. Otherwise, what you're doing, as I said before, is you're just bringing over all the old data, all the old issues that you had before. So when companies take this approach and plan to address data issues later, you know, yes, you may clean it up later, but it's the analogy here for me is it's like waiting until you move into the new house to get rid of all your old stuff, right? Why would you pack up, you know, all the old stuff from the old house? If you've ever moved, you know what I mean, right?
You're bringing up some memories here.
Yeah. Exactly. Why do that, right? Yes, you can, but what are the chances when you get to the new house, you're going to clean up everything, you know? So clean it up now, if at all possible, unless everything's clean. If you have a perfect, pristine, clean house with no old stuff in it, then sure, move it over to the new house.
Yeah, I think it's some great points, Bill. And I think, you know, one of the other things that a lot of times organizations do at this particular time is they start to think about that formalized governance and how to actually implement that into this as they're moving over to S/4HANA. And you know, as part of that, even if they're doing just a complete system conversion, they do need to think about in a broader sense too, that if they're formalizing their governance as part of that house cleaning, they're probably going to be changing some of those standards, policies, procedures, rules that need to be applied on a regular and consistent basis as they implement the formalization of that. That may well, very well, also be part of that cleanup activity that they need to be doing to say, I need to realign my master data to this new process and data that we want to continue to use going forward. So I certainly think that that house cleaning is definitely one of the key aspects of that.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the second one of those three options there, what we call selective data transition. And just for a bit of background on that, often this can involve multiple SAP ERP systems or ERP systems. Primarily, this is when you would have SAP's data management and landscape transformation tools. That's when they come into play. Oftentimes with the selective data transition, typically there's data harmonization and cleansing required. And for sure, there's data migration necessary. So starting with you, Randy, what's your thoughts on best practices for selective data transition and things that customers need to know?
I think one of the key things that does come to mind is, you know, SAP does offer the applications like ADMM and SKP via Synity for doing a lot of those key activities. And one of the big aspects of that whole activity is really looking at a application that can really standardize and create a repeatable and reusable process. Because as organizations go through this, a lot of the times they're doing it one ERP system at a time, or it could be a division or a business unit that they're really focused on, and they're just doing those wave over wave. So really enabling that repeatability, reusability of those processes is going to be key to that, so that you've got efficiencies to gather all of that data into a common repository, be able to do the transformation, and also, just as important, those validations. And that validation is going to be key to making sure it aligns to that new S4 environment that you're going into. And then eventually that leads to that whole creation of those loads that we're going to put into the new S4 environment that assures that we've got good quality data going into that new environment. And that goes hand in hand also, where if they're planning on doing formalized governance from an MDG perspective, it enables them to actually create load programs that are going to be utilized for both S4 and MDG if they were doing a hub model, or just singularly back into S4 if they were doing a co-deploy.
Yeah, and Randy, I think Randy hit the nail on the head, Terry, when he said repeatable and reusable. For this approach, that's really critical, because what you're doing is you're doing kind of one task at a time, right? It's something where we're going to address this business or this business unit today and this one tomorrow, or maybe you do a lot of mergers and acquisitions, and at some point you're going to be acquiring companies and you've got to get their ERP systems and get those migrated over. So having that established kind of standard methodology that you're going to follow, which is the tools and the process and the rules and the data conversion routines, is really critical. And that way it can become like a rinse and repeat, that we can do this over and over again. And so you can take this phased approach and do it effectively. And as Randy pointed out, a lot of this drives, how you're going to actively manage and govern your data as you're now creating it, as you're creating new, for example, master data in your S/4HANA system going forward. You're going to reuse a lot of those rules. Because we know if it's a good rule for getting the data clean from day one, it's probably going to be a rule that you want to have going forward, when new data is created. So repeatable and reusable is critical.
Yeah, for sure. And that'll always help with the total cost of ownership and, like you said, the ongoing maintenance for that. And that touches on, and later on, I want to get into it a bit on how it helps with the clean core. Getting clean, staying clean. That's really important. But before we get there, there's a third approach that I wanted to touch on, and that's the new implementation. And this can be from either an SAP or a non-SAP ERP system. data migration is necessary, and likely in this case, data harmonization and cleansing is required. So you're basically starting with a new implementation, whether it's public cloud, private cloud. So Randy, what are your thoughts on some best practices for this approach?
Yeah, I think similar to what we were just covering, there is going to be part of that key activity, because in a lot of times in this case, they're doing similar to like a Big Bang implementation where they're doing all of it at once, as opposed to kind of a waved approach of potentially taking each ERP system individually or a different business unit. In this particular case, we could look at from that perspective of, if they're doing a Big Bang, they're going to have this, a lot of those similarities of what we had talked about before, really keeping a standardized process that can actually be, you know, used for all different areas of that. So whether you're talking about your materials, you know, your business partners, your financials, your transactional data, all of those things need to have a realignment to that new S4 environment. And one of the other key factors that we didn't completely cover in that prior discussion that could be considered for both of these is there may be a need for construction, data construction. So creating data that doesn't exist in the old legacy systems, but now needs to exist in the new system because of those new data requirements to meet the operational needs. So leveraging those standardized processes that do the validations and those creations of those load files on a continuous and consistent basis, because you have to consider you're going to be doing several test cycles, obviously, to vet those things out. You need to have those so it's always working and improving, so that by the time you get to your production implementation, you've got it down to where you've got good clean data going in at, you know, those 99% to 100% accuracy for that.
Yeah, and this is one where I'd say the Big Bang, right? We're going to call this the Big Bang approach. It's definitely a bigger project that you're undertaking up front. But the end result, if we're looking at what are the benefits or what are the drawbacks, the benefit of this, right, is the end result, right? It's a lot of effort, but, you know, the end result is you've addressed all the issues, right, and all the data, and there's, you know, not a lot left to do when it comes to doing a migration, of course, unless you acquire a company, something like that. And in that case, what you end up doing, right, is more the second approach that we talked about, you know, which is the system conversion approach that we talked about before, the selective data transition. So I guess sometimes there's a hybrid, right? These approaches aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. A lot of times you might go with the third approach we talked about, which is an implementation, right? But then you're going to do the selective, right, as you acquire new companies. The drawback with this third approach, right, the new implementation, right, of course, is going to be the time and the effort up front. But a lot of times the outcome makes it well worth the effort.
Yeah, and I think that's a big valid point, where there are a lot of organizations that, you know, they want to get there faster, and they want to make sure that they're looking at it from that viewpoint of, this is a transformation and we want to get everybody on board immediately. You know, almost that whole thing of, you know, rip the Band-Aid off quick and let's get there faster.
Yeah, thanks. That's great. So let's pivot a little bit and talk about master data management and some of the key challenges and priorities. So Bill, starting with you, what are some key challenges that you've seen with customers you've worked with in master data management when migrating to S/4HANA?
I'd say identifying and correcting data issues is always a big challenge, right? It's something that you need to do. It's paramount to be able to address this. So for example, duplicate data, that's always a challenge. You know, trying to identify duplicates that's very challenging, right? And of course, there's matching, right? And there's various matching engines and, you know, matching techniques that you can use to identify duplicate data. So that is one that is always addressed a lot of times through the technology. But what I've seen most challenging, though, when working with customers is they'll say, hey, we can identify the duplicates. That's not our issue. Our challenge is, you know, how are we going to come up with the best record? Right. And this is called, a lot of times they'll call this survivorship or merging. In a lot of our, in SAP Master Data Governance, we call this creating a best record. But it's all about providing a way for your experts, your data stewards, to be able to review duplicate records, for example, you know, and manage and oversee how those are being consolidated. You know, if we've got five versions of the same company, how do we come up with that one single best golden record that we want to have now going forward? Right. And so that's a lot of times where, you know, a solution like SAP Master Data Governance helps because it has, you know, purpose-built processes and tasks and user interface for doing those kinds of things, like reviewing duplicate records and creating a best or golden record. So that's one. Another big challenge, I had two come to mind here. So one is that one about correcting data issues. And another one, though, I found a lot is companies want to be able to automate things as much as possible, right? We're in the age of, you know, AI. And so everyone wants to be able to automate things as much as possible. And for example, automatically create master data or automatically extend, you know, materials to plants and sales orgs. So this has been an area of emphasis, right? Inside, for example, of SAP Master Data Governance in the last two releases with a lot of its data derivation capabilities, we call that. And so the idea is here is trying to automate things as much as possible. And today, right, with generative AI is really a hot topic. That's an area where I see there's going to be a lot of advancement in the future. But so automation is critical and correcting data issues. Those are the two critical areas.
Yeah, definitely, Bill. I was going to, yeah, what you said is, you know, came to mind that other term that gets thrown out there a lot with that is that whole self-enablement. You know, the organizations are trying to be self-enabled so that they're not so dependent on, you know, the IT departments on a regular basis. And so how do we do that through the uses of platforms like MDG so that the business itself can be self-enabled to make sure that the data quality is there? And then down the road, the business knows that they have highly trusted data that they can really focus on. You know, one kind of particular case that kind of lends itself to what you were talking about as part of that whole deduplication process was we were working with an international manufacturer that worked primarily with industrial materials and building industrial materials. And they ran into challenges with things like units of measure as they were going through this whole deduplication. They were actually building the exact same product in different regions, but because their units of measures were either an imperial or metric, they were running into issues for warranties and really repair parts to be able to support their products that they had out there in the market. And you think about it in those terms of some of these large engineering corporations and buildings, they're working internationally and they're moving these materials across regions. So they might have equipment that's purchased in one region that's now over in a different region. They still have to service those things and there's still warranties that go with them. When you go to buy those spare parts to replace those things, and you've got something in imperial and all they're offering you is something in metric, that's something, a very, very big challenge, a world challenge that you have to work with of being able to have those things. So when they got through and started looking at their whole governance process, they were looking at how they can actually utilize those units and measures and the mappings for those to get away from that so that they become more universal and that they're actually having all of those parts internationally to be able to support those needs. So it does become critical when you look at it from the core of master data. There's lots of other layers below there at those attributes that now have to be analyzed when you're getting into that data governance aspect of how we're going to actually be utilizing these and what that means to our impact of our business.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking personally, I mean, I'm from Canada, and that half imperial, half metric, that's our daily life here in Canada with a lot of things that come from the United States versus Europe versus locally produced. We live that every day. So I can relate to that example for sure.
Yeah, and it ties back into what Bill was talking about with those derivation rules where, you know, based off of which region you're in, you can actually set those rules up to derive the correct units of measure to be able to support those needs.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the tooling and some of the best practices for data migration and master data management. So just looking at what's out there, Randy, what are my options for migrating data at a tooling level?
When you look at, you know, moving over to S4HANA, you know, the first thing that always kind of comes to mind is really the migration, the SAP S4HANA migration cockpit. This does enable you to do that data extraction, the mapping, all of the loading as part of that directly back into your S4HANA. The one thing that you have to look at that Bill has talked about before too, is, and we've been discussing throughout this, is how clean is your data? Migration Cockpit is a great option for folks that they've gone through the practice of cleansing and harmonizing, deduplicating all of those activities, you know, because it does work very well in those cases. If you're not in that particular instance, you know, or that case, you know, the other option we've talked a little bit about before is really the SAP Advanced Data Migration by Synity. And this really, as we had talked about before, enables you to do everything soup to nuts in a very customized manner for your given situation, whether you're coming from multiple ERP systems or a single ERP system, whether you've got a mix of SAP and non-SAP, it's really allowing a lot of flexibility there to do those types of things and to also do that cleansing, harmonization, the validations that really are required to then introduce any of your new master data into or transactional data across the board into your S4 environment.
Great. Yeah. And then let's pivot to the master data aspect. So Bill, what are some key areas or what are some key points that I need to know about working with master data efficiently in S4HANA?
When it comes to master data management and S4HANA, one of the most important things that I always like to emphasize when I'm talking to organizations is making sure that you have the proper governance in place for creating or changing master data for S4 and having it in place as early as possible. Because otherwise, what you're going to do is you're going to increase the risk of having S4HANA be, you know, what you had in the past, right? Which might be a system that wasn't optimized, wasn't enforcing governance on how master data is created. And that's why companies that are moving to S4HANA always say they should consider utilizing a solution like SAP Master Data Governance, because that's what it does. A lot of times I think of it as being, you know, the gatekeeper, you know, the bouncer. A lot of times you'll have, I've heard people use that term before, but almost like the firewall to make sure that we are going to follow a governed process, actively governing how we create or update master data to ensure that it's accurate, that it's trustworthy, that we have data consistency, we have data accuracy, we're compliant, right, with any regulations. And we also have that transparency to know exactly how that master data was created. Because otherwise, what you end up doing is you're just creating master data with no governance in place, with no checks, with no validations, with no oversight, without kind of that audit trail. So that's what MDG does. It provides that governance layer to control how master data is created for S4HANA. And don't wait. That's the other thing I bring up. Because a lot of times, if you wait until you're live on S4HANA, almost it's too late. Because on day one, people are going to be creating master data. So if you don't have this in place on day one, you're setting yourself up for trouble.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I would add to that, Bill, is, you know, when we look at it from that perspective, you certainly, if you're actively moving to S4, in parallel, you should be considering that, putting that formalized governance in place. Like you had said, there's always that discussion around, you know, get your data clean, but there's also then the follow-up of keep it clean, right? And we need to be considering that as part of it. And I think one other aspect that we probably haven't hit on too is that there's a lot of organizations that they're in the process of preparing their roadmap to S4. They're not quite ready for it. But I think governance, you know, and SAP MDG can be leveraged as really part of that whole stepping stone over to S4. And a lot of organizations probably don't realize that they can actually stand up an MDG environment on S4HANA to be able to start to get formalized data governance into their legacy ECC or ERP systems while they're actually preparing to go to S4. And what this really does for them is it gives them that data model that the S4 environment is going to need to support that. And those new data requirements for those attributes and elements that need to be populated for it can now be accounted for in your MDG environment, but you can still replicate back to your existing ECC and non-SAP systems in their current formats to be able to keep that data clean as they get ready for it. And then once they stand up their S4 environment, now they have all of that information prepared for it, and it's aligned to the new S4 data models to be able to support those needs. So a lot of great options there, I think, as they look at wanting to, you know, get data clean and approaches to be able to get to S4.
Yeah, that's great points there. So I want to touch on one of the things we highlighted earlier around clean core. It's come up a couple of times. It's a really popular term here at SAP, the clean core strategy. Bill, starting with you, and this will be one of our final topics here, how does data migration fit in with a clean core strategy? And even more important, what happens after I migrate the data? How do I stay clean?
Clean core, you know, and that's one that I'd say right off the bat, Terry, you know, I'd always want to point out that clean core can mean different things to, you know, different people, depending on the context, you know, and in this context, you know, clean core is around the data, right? The data that you're migrating to S4HANA, you know, making sure that it's accurate, making sure that it's fit for use. Everybody wants a clean core, right? A clean core system, if you will, you know, and in this point, right, that starts with clean data. That would be my, you know, my feedback on that one.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some of the things that we've talked about here just and some of the prior discussion go hand in hand with organizations that want to move over to that clean core. They're going to have to look at how they're actually going to do a lot of those data cleansing, harmonization, migration activities to go over to that new clean core system. So they'll still have those same types of challenges to get over there. And at the same time, they may have mapping activities to say, we're going to be eliminating all these data elements. How are we going to map them over to our new clean core environment to be able to have, you know, the business activities continue to operate in a very smooth manner? So they'll have to consider a lot of those migration topics that we discussed earlier as part of that movement to a clean core.
Yeah, and just for a deeper dive on what clean core means, as Bill, you mentioned, it can mean different things to different people, whether it's extensions, processes, data, all these. I'll post a couple of links at the bottom of this this blog and in the podcast so people can follow up and learn more about that. It's a really important concept. So exploring a little bit more on the master data management area of clean core, how does MDM, Master Data Management, fit into that clean core strategy? So, Bill.
Yeah, and this goes back to what we discussed earlier, right? Being able to make sure that you can keep things clean going forward, right? The theme of this whole conversation has been around get it clean, right? Get it clean, get it in S4, and then keep it clean. Master Data Management, right, is a process, let's say, comes into play here. If you're going to maintain this clean core system, as I said before, you've got to actively govern and control it. You got to have the people, the process, and the technology in place to make sure that we're going to keep this core clean. And that's where Master Data Management and, you know, the solution, SAP Master Data Governance, comes into play.
Yeah, I think any organization that's looking to do a transformation into S4, and regardless of, you know, if they do choose to go down clean core or not, you know, they've made a big investment in getting there and really getting their whole business to start to align to that. So why not, you know, take advantage of a formalized governance like MDG to be able to now, like you said, keep it clean. It's so easy, I think, for people to, you know, always try to find workarounds. This is where governance practices really come into play, is to say, no, we've standardized these things and we know that it's going to go in consistently each time that someone's entering in new master data. so that we have, you know, efficiencies on not only getting it into the production system, but we know now the downstream activities and the transactional and the reporting and the analytics that come out are going to have high data quality that we can actually trust. So it's well worth putting those two together. If you're going to take the time to go to CleanCore, you should be considering doing that formalized master data governance with the MDG.
Some final words of advice for, say, those customers who are doing that big bang approach or doing a new implementation. Are there any words of advice you'd give to them for migrating data to S/4HANA?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, Terry, one of the things that any organization should really look at is what's the best path for their given needs, because each organization definitely has different needs and they have different cultures within the organizations as to their ability to actually take on change management. We touched a little bit about that before, as far as, can my organization, for instance, take on a big bang, or do I have to take a phased approach where I'm going to go ERP by ERP or business unit, division unit, whatever those are, to actually be able to fit within my organization so that we're successfully getting there. I think that those are a lot of those considerations that, you know, we covered in some of these prior discussions, but that's really, it's a case-by-case scenario as to which is the best fit for each one of those organizations and whether or not CleanCore is part of that, because there's a lot of factors that go into that. You know, one of the benefits of CleanCore is obviously that whole practice of upgrades, you know, where it really takes all of the stress and all of the thought out of it, because, you know, you're, by aligning the CleanCore, all those upgrades now are aligned to that as well, regardless of it's your S4 or your MDG platform. So they, there's a lot of considerations that every organization needs to look at.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely with what Randy's talking about here, right? It's, for this one, CleanCore applies to the business processes, right? And being able to do things differently and to follow best practices, making sure that what you're doing, you know, is efficient and aligns to, you know, SAP best practices, such as utilizing, you know, SAP ADMM, Advanced Data Migration and Management, for getting the data clean, right, and migrated to S4, and then leveraging SAP MDG for governing how master data is created. You know, I worked with one large, kind of in closing, I worked with one large high-tech company, and then what they told us is, right, there's one door to S4, right? For them, their best practice was, you've got to go through SAP Master Data Governance to get into S4, right? To get your master data created for S4. And they said, you know, as a company, right, everybody knows that now, right? It's something that we had to be able to, willing to make this change. And this is the business process we're going to follow, because it's going to ensure that we have that trusted, accurate data foundation going forward.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to close it. So I'd like to thank Bill and Randy for joining me in this conversation. It was great to meet you and discuss this really important topic to our S/4HANA customers. The links for the resources and the products that were mentioned in this will be at the bottom of this podcast and the blog. Again, I'd like to thank Bill and Randy for joining me, and we look forward to hearing from you again in the future. Have a great day. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Terry, for hosting this edition of Let's Talk Cloud ERP. Also, check out other episodes of Let's Talk Cloud ERP podcast to hear directly from other customers on their transformation journeys. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank the Let's Talk Data podcast for their partnership. We couldn't do what we do without them. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Frank-McGrory. Have a great rest of your day.